Does everybody have their communion? There's a on the table in the back, we have communion that's prepared for packages. If you don't have that, if you raise your hand, we can have someone reach, step out and get you one. If you would, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll be reading from there in just a moment. This morning, my thoughts I would like for us to look at are 7 leadership lessons that we received from the cross. All Christians are to be leaders, but it's different than what the leadership that the world teaches. Worldly leadership will not withstand the test of time. Worldly leadership leads us to selfish desires and to building up self more so than what we see from the cross. When the Lord returns, all that is done apart from his will be proven to be worth nothing. So as a leader, all things that we do needs to be in his will. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. It reads, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" So reading about this lesson this morning, I looked to the meaning of leadership. And what we're talking about, it literally means to die. There's a quote from a Robert Quinn, a leadership professional at the University of Michigan, has joined others to pointing out that the origins of the world leaders means to go forth and die. The Christian life is not about trying daily, but about dying daily. His life is revealed to us with increasing measure as we die to ourselves. If you would now look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me, I would like to read from verses 6 through 12. "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' as the one who has shone in the hearts to give the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have treasures in earthly vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you." We see here that as a leader, we are to die to self and live for Christ. You know, with this, back in chapter 3, it's speaking of the glory of God. We are a mirrored image. The others should see the glory of God in us. So this is how we are transformed, so that we are living for God. We are living for Christ. God, others will see Christ in us, dying to self. That's leadership. So the 7 points that I'd like for us to learn from this morning or be reminded of is, number 1, solitude. And we see in the prayer that in Luke chapter 5, Jesus went often into solitude to pray. Just before he went to the cross, he went to pray, and that was a fervent prayer. We've discussed that and read that many times. But solitude is something that we need to as well take ourselves as a good leader, of our Christianity, to go and be by ourselves and meditate on our life, on our situations, and pray to God. So solitude is very important for us each in our daily lives. Second thought I'd like for us to consider would be perseverance. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scoring its shame, set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus knew his mission when he came upon this earth. He knew that he was going to suffer upon the cross. He knew that he was going to be betrayed, but he did not waver. All of those things that came about with him, he stood strong in. And no matter what came his way, he continued the course ahead. As a leader, as a Christian, it's important to clearly understand what our mission is and that we do not waver. This is one of the hardest disciplines to master, is to persevere. How often do we know that turmoil is coming our way or that we are in it, but we want to give up so easily? Let us be reminded of Christ, how he persevered and continued on. Thirdly, courage. Jesus knew of the physical pain that was in store for him as well. He was going to bear the wrath of his Father for all the sins of mankind. And that's huge. Bear the wrath of the Father. He knew too well of what that wrath was. But he took courage, and he did so. And it wasn't something that he just didn't think about and pushed through and just did it. No, he truly bore that sorrow. He knew the great pressure that it was causing him. As a matter of fact, when he went into the garden to pray, he prayed that not this, let this cup pass from me, but not his will, but God's be done. When he was on trial, there he allowed those things to be said about him, but he did not return. He did not fight back from that. He knew that he took courage and knew that the Lord was going to be there for him. Something so humiliating as when he was spit upon and he did not fight back. The thought of Jesus dying on the cross can inspire courage in situations that are overwhelming and scary. So when we get into these situations, let us remember the courage that Christ had. Fourthly, humility. Is Jesus not the perfect example of humility? Coming down from heaven, from glory above, coming to earth and humbling himself to the point of death upon the cross. For this world has ever changed for what he has done. Look with me over in Philippians chapter 2 for just a moment. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, unity in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regarding one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equal with God to the things to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Obedient unto death. We see here that it's important for us as well to put ourselves aside and put others first. Not only be caring about our own interest, but the interest of others. Obedient unto death as Christ is here. Selfless, empty conceit. These are the examples, and these are true characteristics of a leader. Number five, self-control. During his final hours, we see how he did this. Look with me over in John for just a moment, John chapter 19. Spoke of it just a moment ago, but let's look again at verses 6 through 11. And when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify, crucify." Pilate said to them, Take him yourself and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by the law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid, and he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus had no answer. So Pilate said to him, "Do you not speak to me? But you know that I have authority to release you, and I have authority to crucify you." And Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Self-control. I'm reminded of the song, "He Could Have Called 10,000 Angels." I read a little bit about that song last night. Actually, the song was inspired from Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, where Jesus said, "I could have called 12,000 or 12 legions of angels to come and defend me if need be." And that's 72,000 angels. And we've all know that, you know, one angel we couldn't stand up against, let alone 72,000. But that's self-control. He had that. He had that authority. He had that ability, but he held that back. It's critical for us leaders, us Christians, to demonstrate self-control. An out-of-control leader will create chaos, causing destruction. We've all been witness to that at some time or another in our lives. We need to learn self-control because we too can cause chaos and destruction. Number six, forgiveness. For while hanging on the cross, Jesus asked his Father to forgive the very people that unjustly put him there. Luke 23, 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Again, forgiveness. We too must forgive others as Christ did. If not, this too will bring chaos and destruction as well. This will affect us as leaders. We have to do as Christ did and forgive. Number seven, love. Let's go back to John chapter 15, please. We'll read there from verses 12 and following. Again, looking at Jesus as the example. "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hates me before it hated you. If you were of the world loves its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." Jesus is an example here of showing how that we should love, how that he laid down his life. If we as leaders can learn how to love others, including those that are the most difficult to love, I believe that we can make our families, our communities, our countries, and our world a better place by doing just as Christ did. The thought of Jesus on the cross, or the time of Jesus on the cross, definitely was a moment in history that the Creator, our God, reconciled us to Him. Through His Son, we are back within His holiness in front of Him. It was because of Christ's sacrifice. Now, when we sin, we turn our backs on God. We separate ourselves from God. And God recognizes that. But he chose to bring us back to Him. He loved us so that He gave His only Son. Christ came and suffered in pain and agony. He was the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice. He taking the punishment of the Father, atoning for my sins and setting me free. Let us consider these things this morning as we partake of the emblems.